So we're going to read through Jude, through three verses, 20 through 23 today. And we'll slowly unpack what it has to say for us today. We begin verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. Very powerful words here. The whole letter, pretty much, he's writing to apostles. Writing to the false apostles. He's writing to those who are depraved, who have gone out a different path, who have not walked on the paths of the true way of godliness or the true way towards Christ. And so they have defected from the faith onto their own path. And then here in these last verses, he's talking to the believers. He said, if you notice, he's always talking to the false apostles, but in the beginning he addresses to the believers. But these verses, it shows us how to fight against these false apostles, how to contend against them. And it's in these verses, beginning from verse 17. But first, Jude says in verse 3, how to contend for the faith, and then he skips over that. He doesn't mention it, he skips over that. Подвязаться за веру, в третьем стихе говорит. And then he immediately rushes into what we are up against. He immediately says what we're up against, these false teachers, and he starts listing them one by one, verse by verse. And he gets from verse 4, he speaks of those who have crept in unnoticed. It's very interesting, I was reading over this. Again, he says those who have crept in unnoticed, and then he says, let's read that. Verse 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. He says they have crept in, but guess what? They have already been marked out. God has already seen them. They can't take God for a surprise. They can't come around the corner. They can't trick us in any way because it's already been prophecy. They have already been marked out by God. They are not against us, in a sense, they're against God. They're against Him. We're not in this battle by ourselves. He's on our side. And then in verse 5, we read those who were led out of Egypt, He then later destroyed because of their unbelief. Again, we see God's hand in this also. God is purifying, He's cleansing His people. His hand is in all of this. He's pruning His people, if you will, like we hear of Jesus pruning His people. God the Father throwing the branches that produce no fruit into the fire. And then even in the spiritual realm, spiritual matters, God's hand is still in control. Even that in verse 6, He's controlling, He's cleaning out the angels in heaven. It's almost as if Jude here is telling us, my beloved, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. Who's in control over here? God is in control. He's in control of the whole situation, of the whole matter. They may creep in from amongst us from the side or from the corner, from the back, but guess what? They have already been marked out. I've already spoken about them, that they will come. They won't take you for surprise. They've already been marked out. And so Jude is saying, my beloved, don't be anxious about anything. While evil seems to prosper, you remain faithful to me. You remain faithful to me. Be holy. Be separate unto me. You remain holy. Do my will. Be mine. And I'll take care of the rest. You just focus upon me, upon my words. And then we come to verse 17 after he continues for several more verses, mentioning about these false teachers and false apostles. And he comes to verse 17 and he tells us how we, the church, are to contend for the faith, how we're to fight. What weapons are we to use? Because he says contend for the faith, and he just leaves that out, and he just starts mentioning who we're up against. Almost seems like we're in this fight by ourselves, we have no weapons. And he says, the first way to contend in verse 17 is remember the words that the apostles have spoke.
Помните слова, которые апостолы вам говорили.
17 стихе. Remember those words. Remember God's words. Meditate upon it. Absorb it. Chew it. Discuss it. Follow it. Study it. And it's very interesting how he uses this example. He uses this weapon in the very next verse, verse 18, where he brings up Apostle Peter's prophecy of these false prophets. Apostle Peter spoke in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, in the last days there will be mockers. In the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. And Jude, he shows us an example of this weapon where he remembers his congregation, remembers the people he's talking to, as he remembers God's word, as he remembers the apostle who spoke. And then he's telling them, I'm writing to you what they have spoken. This is like almost an example of what we are to do. We are to remember the other apostles, what they have spoken. And he's almost given us an example of this. And then he adds a little more detail in verse 19, giving more light upon to the matter. These scoffers who speak scornfully of other people, they cause divisions and are themselves without the Spirit of God while being leaders of a condemned church. They are the very leaders who are bringing their church to hell and all the congregation with them, because they are without the Spirit. So we see this weapon, remembering God's word. Now, Apostle Paul, he calls the word of God a sword of the Spirit. And it's a very powerful weapon, because when it's remembered, it helps us in times of trouble. And we see this accurate representation of this sword when Jesus used it in the temptation in the desert. Satan came up to him with very precise questions, and he answered those questions very precisely back, like the sword, using it with complete accuracy, pinpointing exactly where he wanted to point it, and cut exactly what he wanted to cut with that sword. And so again, we see Jude, who comes back to us as the beloved of God. In verse 20, he again tells us, but you, beloved, tells us the second way to contend for the faith. Build yourselves up. Build yourselves up. Назидая себя. 20 стих. Building yourselves up. Charles Spurgeon had a sign on the top of the door in the pastor's college. As soon as you walk in, it says, holding, I am held. Holding, I am held. While we are held by God, we are to build ourselves with that strength that we are held by God. We are to build ourselves up. We are to build ourselves up on the foundation, on the pillar, on the strong foundation of Christ, which the prophets and the apostles have continued to build upon that foundation. And we are in line right after them. We are building what they have left off for us. Anyone else who builds upon another foundation that is not of the apostles' doctrines and the prophets, is another foundation that Jesus says will fall, and great will be its fall. Build yourselves up. That phrase simply means growing in faith. Grow in faith. Grow, increase. Build, that's the whole point of building, is to grow. You can't just stay in one spot. How are you building? You're building on quicksand, then. The bricks just keep sinking down because you're not going up. So how are we to grow? What are you talking about? How do we do that? Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. If we are God's children, if we know who God is, if we have been resurrected from the dead with Christ, he will provide us with growth. When his word gave us the growth, and when his word continues to water and we grow, because it is God is the one who gives us the growth. But we need to be watered by the word. through such preaching as in this church or other churches who are faithful to God's word. And simply answered, how do we grow? It's through his word. In John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word, it's truth. Your word is sanctifying truth. Your word, it's such truth that it sanctifies, it builds those who absorb it, those who listen to it, those who understand it. It sanctifies them because it's truth. It comes, it's spoken from the mouth of God. Grow in your most holy faith. We are to grow in our most holy faith. What does that mean? Is there a level of holiness to faith? Is there a level that we are to build? Is there a holy, holy faith? Or is there just a faith? Or is there one holy? Is there two holies? What is he talking about here? Grow in your most holy faith. When compared to the false systems of this corrupt nature of humanity covered on the pretense of religion, it is indeed most holy. When you compare it to Jehovah's Witnesses, or when you compare it to the Mormons who have another foundation, this foundation is indeed the most holy. It is the most holy. So we are to build ourselves on this most holy faith, on the foundation of Christ. When a nation becomes the dominant superpower of the world, it has to produce strength. It has to produce stronger soldiers. It has to stay the strongest. It has to grow. If it doesn't grow, the other nations are going to increase their power and overpower them. They have to remain in power by continuing to build its soldiers, continuously build new and greater weapons, because the surrounding nations will do that and overpower them. Likewise, we are to continuously to build. We are to build upon the foundation of Christ. Build and grow in God's word. Otherwise, we'll suffer defeat. Looking through God's word, it purifies us. That's how we grow. We grow by being purified, by continually being sanctified in the image of Christ, by being convicted in our sins, by continuously seeing ourselves and cutting off the edges that show our depravity. We are to represent the image of Christ in this world. We are to be the light of this world. How can we do that if we're still hanging around and pulling this sinful flesh around us? We must cut it off, keep cutting chunks off of this flesh so that God's image would bear, so that the world would see this light that we represent. So God's word purifies us. We read in Psalm 119, verse 11, your words I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. It purifies us. Having the word in our mind, it purifies us. It also guides us. It directs our paths, which way to go, which way we know to go. We don't have any dead ends because we know which way to go. The word guides us. In Psalm 119, 105, we read, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We know which way to go. We see the path to take. So is this something that we all can save ourselves here today, that we're growing, that we are growing? Can we say this about ourselves today, if you think about it? Can we say that we are growing in our lives? Can your wife or your husband today say, can they witness this about you, that you are growing? Can they say that about you? Perhaps you haven't asked them. Perhaps you haven't asked them if you're growing, if this is a truth that is proceeding from you. Perhaps you haven't asked them because maybe you're afraid of the answer. Maybe you're afraid of what they'll tell you. But the answer just may wake you up to reality. If this is not a truth in your life, and quite frankly, it's a truth in many people's lives who are even in church, not even on the streets out there, but in the church. John MacArthur spoke of a study of a poll that was taken 80% of Americans believe themselves Christians, and then when you ask the certain questions and it cuts back, and only 7% are true believers who are really interested in holiness and in righteousness and in some kind of a ministry, are really interested in growing, only 7% of 80. And so they all fail to ask themselves this. Are they growing? Is the Spirit of God, of Christ, involved in their life? Do they see this growth? Do they see their sinful flesh being cut off and the image of Christ completely growing on, being a light to this world? Do they see that? So asked that question, they just might be woken up to the reality that they may not be believers. It's sometimes healthy to look at yourself through another lens. Ask your spouse, ask your parents if you're not married. Do you see these things? Do you see these qualities in me? So remember God's word. His word is as powerful as he is. Remember his word. Sanctify yourself on that word. In this age of false teaching, we must, with utmost seriousness, learn to study God's word when it seems like false deception, false teaching is like springing up like mushrooms all over the world. We must study God's word with the most seriousness. If we are to be his soldiers, his weapons used in his hands, then we must be filled with his word. We must be filled with his word that he himself has spoken, that has power to create. Secondly, we are to be continuously building up on this foundation that Christ, the strong pillar that holds it all together. And then the apostles and the prophets who have laid down, continued upon this foundation, and we are to continue upon what they have laid. False teachers are building up with strongholds. They are also building up. They are recruiting their own soldiers. But Jesus says, again, like I've mentioned, great will be their fall. Great will be their fall. In all this warfare, we are not alone. The Almighty God is with us. He is with us. He's on our side. Just I've mentioned, he's saying that they have been marked out. They have been marked out. Apostle Peter says, mockers will come. Guess what, you guys? This is no surprise. Our apostles have already spoken that they're coming. They're coming. This is not a surprise. Don't be panicky running around in circles. What do? We already know what to do. You just remain holy. You just be holy. You just understand that they're coming. There's no surprise. The Almighty God is our strength. What else do we need but to empty ourselves of ourselves and be filled in with his strength in this great time that we need strength? The third way to contend is praying in the Spirit. Some people have attributed this third strength into the first point is building yourselves up, almost attached that to the second one. And others have made this a separate contentment, a second strength that we contend with. And we'll discuss more about it next time. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.